So yesterday we discussed about the first aspect of Saranagati. First of all, how many different angas or how many different aspects does Saranagati have? Six. And out of that, yesterday we discussed about the first one. And what's the first one? The first aspect of Saranagati? Dhamma. So today we are going to discuss about the second aspect of Saranagati. And what is the second aspect of Saranagati? Very good. Atmanivedan means surrender of the self. Now yesterday we discussed the importance of recognizing our insignificant position in order to surrender. Unless and until we recognize our minute or insignificant position, can we possibly surrender? Let us consider, if someone thinks that he is very big, he is very great, he is very opulent, he is very powerful, will he depend upon somebody else? Instead, he will think that let the whole world depend upon him. But only when we recognize our position as an insignificant part and parcel of Krishna, then only we can surrender ourselves to whom do we surrender? Krishna through the spiritual master. Yes. Actually, the surrender to Krishna takes place through the via medium of the spiritual master. One cannot directly approach Krishna. Because very mercifully Krishna sends his representatives, his devotees. Now if somebody does not recognize Krishna's representative, that means he actually doesn't want to recognize Krishna. So, this self-surrender is the most important aspect of Saranagati. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote poems. I mentioned earlier that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur through his poems describes different aspects of Saranagati. There are many songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about Dainya. He also wrote many songs about Atma Nivedan. But it's not possible to discuss all those songs in 1 hour. Therefore, we selected one song from each section. So today we have selected a song called Manasa Deho Geho Jo Kichu Mor Orphilu Suva Pade Nandakishu. How many of you know this song? Very good. So anyway, so what we'll do, like yesterday, we will hand out these copies, the song sheet, and
Gopinath ko hoke adaya ko to bolo to keno ha gari sa to onki jete ka o gane amar ekhane kaaj ache to bolo to
so did everyone get who didn't get Is there anyone who didn't get a copy? Do you have some extra? So, this is a very beautiful song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now this is actually describing how to surrender unto Krishna, how to offer ourselves to Krishna. I will just read the song first and then I will discuss about the translation. মানস দেহ গেহ যো কিছু মোর অর্পিলু তুয়া পদে নন্দ কিশোর। সম্পদে বিপদে জীবনে মরণে দায় মম গেলা তুয়া অপদ বরণে, মারবি রাখবি জয়ইচ্ছা তোহারা নিত্য দাস প্রতি তুয়া অধিকারা। জন্মাওবি ময়ে ইচ্ছা যদি তোর ভকত গৃহে জনি জন্ম হৌ মোর, কীত জনম হৌ যথা তুয়া দাস বহির্মুখ ব্রহ্ম জন্মে নাকি আস। ভুক্তি মুক্তি স্পৃহা বিহীন যে ভক্ত লভ ইতে তাক সঙ্গ অনুরক্ত, জনক জননী দয়িত তনয় প্রভু গুরু কপি তুহু সর্বময়। ভকতি বিনোদ কহি শুন কান রাধা নাথ তুহু হামারো করান। মানস দেহ গেহ, মানস মিন্স মাইন্ড, দেহ মিন্স বডি, গেহ মিন্স হাউস। যো কিছু মোর, হোয়াট এভার আই হ্যাভ, হোয়াট এভার আই পজেস, মাই মাইন্ড, মাই বডি, মাই হাউস, অর্পিলু তুয়া পদে নন্দ কিশোর। ও সন অফ নন্দ মহারাজ, আই অফার অল দ্যাট টু ইয়োর লোটাস ফিট। So in this way, a devotee offers himself to Krishna. He offers his mind, he offers his body, he offers his house, he offers everything that he has unto Krishna. And we must remember that we have come here, we have joined this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to come to this point of surrendering or offering everything to Krishna. And it's very noticeable actually in ISKCON that the devotees, in order to join this movement, actually have sacrificed everything. Not so many spiritual organizations are there where people have surrendered everything and joined the movement. Oftentimes people say that this is a very unique aspect of ISKCON, that the devotees of ISKCON have joined the movement, surrendering everything, they sacrificed everything, and that also at a very young age. Generally when one is young, one wants to enjoy the material needs, but that the fact that they have surrendered themselves to ISKCON, they have joined the movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that itself is an indication that they have surrendered. They have surrendered their family, they have surrendered their friends, they have surrendered their bad habits. So it's a very good start. But one must continue. One must try to offer more and more of himself unto Krishna. Now what happens when one surrenders unto Krishna in this way? Sampade bipade jivane morone দায় মম গেলা তুয়া অপদ বরণে। ইন গুড ফর্চুন অর ইন ব্যাড, ইন লাইফ অর ডেথ, অল মাই ডিফিকাল্টি হ্যাভ ডিসঅ্যাপিয়ার্ড বাই চুজিং দোজ ফিট অফ ইয়ার্স অ্যাজ মাই ওনলি শেল্টার। ওয়েন ইউ সারেন্ডার টু কৃষ্ণা, দেন উই অ্যাকচুয়ালি become relieved of the responsibility of maintaining ourselves. In a material nature, everyone is shouldering a lot of responsibilities, a lot of burden. The burden of maintaining themselves, burden of maintaining their family. So many different liabilities are there. But when one surrenders unto Krishna, then what happens? One immediately feels, okay, now I am Krishna's responsibility. Dai mama gala tua o podo bodo. Dai means liability, responsibility. I very distinctly remember when I decided, not even joined, but decided to join ISKCON, it was not like joining ISKCON. My mood was like surrendering to Srila Prabhupada, surrendering to Krishna. I didn't really know of ISKCON so much. But after reading Srila Prabhupada's book, I developed an implicit faith in Srila Prabhupada. And I decided that I am going to surrender myself unto Srila Prabhupada. And when I made the decision, I felt a tremendous relief. And for the first time in my life, I realized what peace actually is. I felt so peaceful, right? Because I felt that from now on, I don't have to worry about myself. I am surrendering myself unto Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada will take care of me. So this is how one feels when one surrenders unto Krishna or Krishna's representative. One feels that, well, I am surrendering unto him and he will take care of me. It's just like becoming a child in front of a father, in front of the father. When we were little children and our parents were taking care of us, did we have any anxiety at that time? No. Because we knew that there is somebody who is taking care of me and who will take care of me. So similarly, when we surrender unto our Supreme Father, Krishna, then we become free from all anxiety under all circumstances. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Marobi Rakhobi Joichha Tohara Nitya Dasa Prati Tua Adhikara. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. Actually, this you should be capital. Slay me or protect me. Marobi means whether you want to kill me. Rakhobi, or you want to keep me. You want to protect me. Joichha Tohara, you can do whatever you want. Because I am your eternal servant and you have all the right over me. Nitya Dasa Prati Tua Adhikara. You have your complete right over your eternal servant. Janmao Bimoi Ichha Jodi Tor Bhapato Grihe Jani Janmo Hoyne. If you want me to take birth, then let me be born in the house of a devotee. I don't mind being born again and again. A devotee doesn't want liberation. Devotee simply surrenders unto Krishna, and devotee's mood is whatever Krishna wants, Krishna will do it. So Marobi Rakhobi Joichha Toha Na Kito Janmo Ho Jatha Tuha Das. Let me be born even as an insect in the house of your devotee. Bohir Mukho Brahma Janme Nahina. But I do not want to be born, even if it is the birth of Brahma, the position of Brahma. If that Brahma is not Krishna conscious, I do not want to be that kind. I would rather be an insect in the house of your devotee. Bhukti Mukti Spriha Vihino Je Bhakto Labho Ite Tako Sango Anurakto. Bhukti means material enjoyment and Mukti means liberation. Bhukti means sense gratification and Mukti means liberation. Now a devotee, a true devotee, a pure devotee, he does not have any desire for material enjoyment, nor does he have any desire for liberation. That is the position of the devotee. Bhukti Mukti Spriha Vihino Je Bhakto. The devotee who is free from the desire of sense gratification or liberation, I want to associate with that kind of devotee. That means we should desire the association of a pure devotee who does not have any desire for sense gratification, nor does he have any desire for liberation. Then what does the pure devotee desire for? What is the pure devotee's desire? Just to serve Krishna. It's not that a devotee is free from desire. A devotee has a desire, has desire, is full of desire. But what is his desire? His desire is simply to serve Krishna. And for the sake of serving Krishna, he wants everything. Devotee desires, oh, if I could get this land, it's such a beautiful land, then I could have built a temple here for Krishna, and I could have installed beautiful deities here, and then I could have invited so many people, so that they could become Krishna. This is how Srila Prabhupada desired. Srila Prabhupada, when he was, before he went to America, Prabhupada didn't have any money at that time. Prabhupada used to go to Sumati Morarji in Bombay. Sumati Morarji was the chairman of a big steam navigation company. And when she used to live in a very prestigious neighborhood of Bombay, and while Prabhupada used to go to Sumati Morarji's house, there Srila Prabhupada used to see a large piece of land. And even before Srila Prabhupada went to America, even before Srila Prabhupada had any money, Prabhupada didn't even have the money to go to America. Prabhupada was begging Srimati Morarji to arrange a passage to America. But at that time, Prabhupada used to desire that if I could get this piece of land, I could build a temple. And when a pure devotee desires something, Krishna fulfills that desire. So Prabhupada desired, let there be a temple in Bombay. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. And what is that piece of land? That piece of land is in Juhu, where our temple is existing today. The beautiful temple of Hare Krishna land. Yes, just very close to Sumati Maharaj. So in this way, a pure devotee simply desires to serve Krishna, to spread the glory of Krishna, to distribute Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the living entity. So, bhukti mukti spriha vihina je bhakti. A devotee who is free from desire for sense gratification and desire for liberation, I simply want to associate with that kind of devotee. Janato janani doito tanaya prabhu guru poti tuhu sarvama. Krishna, you are my everything, you are my father, you are my mother, Doita, you are my lover, you are my son, you are my master, you are my lord and master, you are my husband, you are my husband. So in this way, we can see that in whichever way we want, we can get Krishna. If somebody wants to have a father, then he can look up to Krishna as the father, and Krishna will become his father. If someone wants a mother, then also Krishna can become his mother. If someone wants to have a husband, Krishna can become his husband. Krishna can become his lover. Krishna can become his lord and master. Krishna is actually everything to a devotee. We should remember that Krishna is our everything. Whatever we want, that is Krishna. That means all we want should be Krishna. Our only desire should be Krishna and nothing. Bhakti binodo kahi suno kani Radha natho tuhu Amaro Paramana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, O Kanhai, O Kana, O Krishna, please listen to my appeal. Please hear me, O Lord of Radha. You are my life and soul. So in this way, when we realize that Krishna is our everything, Krishna is our life and soul, when Krishna becomes our life and soul, then we can surrender ourselves to. Sometimes I hear devotees say that, well, I can't trust that, I can't believe that Krishna is listening to me, Krishna is hearing me, Krishna is going to respond to me. Therefore, I cannot really accept Krishna. But that's wrong. If we sincerely appeal to Krishna, then Krishna will respond. As a matter of fact, Krishna is sitting in our heart. Krishna is not far away from us. Krishna is very close to us. And in whichever way we pray to Krishna, Krishna will fulfill our desire, because Krishna can hear us. If we sincerely pray, then Krishna will hear. But if we don't pray to Krishna, then naturally Krishna will not hear. If we think that Krishna is just a piece of stone, or piece of wood, or piece of metal, Krishna can't hear, Krishna is just a fictitious character, then we will never actually be able to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. How many of you believe that Krishna is real? Very good. Very good. As a matter of fact, if we did not believe that Krishna is real, well, then what's the use of joining this meeting? What's the point in giving our lives? If Krishna doesn't hear us, then what's the point in giving our lives to Krishna? If Krishna is a fictitious character, if Krishna is not real, then will anyone think of offering everything to him, including his own life, including his youth, including his wealth? But now that we have done that, now that we have surrendered ourselves to Krishna, now we must act upon that conviction. Now that we have surrendered unto Krishna, we must be convinced that Krishna will take care of us. Krishna will listen to us. Krishna will hear us if we pray to him. That's why the prayer is so important in our spiritual life. For our spiritual advancement, we must learn to pray. That's the first thing that we must learn. Learn to pray with all sincerity. And when you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Actually, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a prayer. This Maha Mantra is a prayer to Krishna, appealing to him, Krishna, Srimati Radharani, please deliver me from this miserable material existence and engage me in your loving devotion. Therefore, when you chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we must do it with this consciousness. Not just mechanically chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It must be done as a prayer from the heart. And the prayer is, prayer should be, Krishna, please deliver me. I'm sick and tired of this material existence. My mind is playing all kinds of trick with me. My mind is trying to take me away from you, but I don't want that. Please deliver me from this miserable material existence and please engage me in your service. So when we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we must do that with this intensity, with this fervor, with this sincere desire of prayer. That Krishna, please, as Dr. Vinod Thakur is saying here, Bhakti Binodo Kahi Shuno Kano Radha Natha Kehu Hamare Parana. Also Prabhupada said that we must learn to pray from our previous acharyas. So here we are seeing how to pray from Bhakti Vinodha. O Radhanath, O Lord of Srimati Radharani, please hear me. Please listen to me. You are my life and soul. And please accept me as the eternal soul. We must remember that that's why we all are here. We join this con simply to take advantage of the association of the devotees and collectively try to make spiritual attainment by rendering devotional service, by surrendering ourselves to Krishna and rendering devotional service. So now we can sing this song. Okay, so does anybody have any question? So the question is, the song says, my body, mind, home, whatever I have, I offer to you, Krishna. So what about a householder, a grihastha? What does he do about it? Yes, even a householder thinks that his family, his house, everything actually belongs to Krishna. The house that he is living in is actually Krishna's house. The family that he has is actually Krishna's family. His wife is a servant of Krishna. His children are servants of Krishna. So in this way, even in household life, a devotee, a pure devotee, considers that everything actually belongs to Krishna. Okay, this question is pertaining to an incident that I described the other day. How many of you remember that incident when Rupa Goswami wanted to feed Sanatana Goswami with sweet rice?
Yes.
How many of you did not hear that story? Okay. So, one day, Sanatana Goswami came to visit Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. Those days, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all were living in Vrindavan in a very, very simple situation. Most of the time they used to just live under a tree. So when Sanatana Goswami came to Rupa Goswami desired to make some sweet rice, or feed Sanatana Goswami with some sweet rice. So then, but Rupa Goswami did not have any ingredient. He didn't have the milk, he didn't have the rice, he didn't have the sugar candy. So he desired, but it was not possible for him. So, soon, one little girl came to Rupa Goswami. And she brought some milk and some rice and different other ingredients that's necessary for making sweet rice. So, and this girl came and said, please accept this because my mother sent it to you. My mother gave it to me and asked me to bring it to you. So Rupa Goswami accepted that. And with that milk and rice and everything, he made a sweet rice. So after offering it to Krishna, when he offered it to Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana Goswami started to taste the sweet rice, he felt that this taste was divine. This is not of this world. So he asked Rupa Goswami, but where did he get that sweet rice? So Rupa Goswami mentioned what actually happened. That one little girl came and offered him the milk and other ingredients. And with that he made sweet rice. So Sanatana Goswami told Rupa Goswami, you know who came? Srimati Radharani herself came. Because you desired. So don't allow such desires to come into your mind. Because your business is to serve Srimati Radharani, not take service from Srimati. Okay, so now the question is that why did Sanatana Goswami chastise Rupa Goswami? What was wrong with this desire? Wrong was that he did not consider that Srimati Radharani may feel obliged to fulfill that desire, and as a result of that, she will come to serve Rupa Goswami. A devotee, like a humble servant, like an obedient servant, simply wants to serve the master and doesn't want to accept the service from the master. At a considerable advanced stage, a devotee feels that. Just like a child, when the child is a little baby, then the child accepts the service from the mother and father. But when the child grows up, then the child feels that, well, now I will take care of my father. They have taken care of me enough, now I will take care of them. Or a humble servant, does a servant want the master to serve him? Huh? Does a good servant want the master to serve him? Or he wants that he should serve the master? Similarly, a pure devotee doesn't want to take any service from Krishna. But he wants to serve Krishna always.
What
child
is
Well, as long as Radharani doesn't come herself to bring the land, it's all right. Yes, Sachidula.
It's not proper in my love stage of God's Krishna for help in time.
Well, help in the sense one can pray to Krishna. That Krishna, the prayer also help can be of different types. One prayer can be, Krishna, you please do it for me. Right? And the other prayer is, Krishna, please allow me to render this service unto you. There's a difference. Right? And then at a less advanced stage, one prays that Krishna, you do it for me. But at a more advanced stage, a devotee feels that Krishna, let me do it for you. Please allow me to do it for you. Please accept this service from me. So the question is that this song is saying Janaka Janani Daita Tanaya. Janaka Janani means father and mother. Now in Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we accept five kinds of relationships. Those five relationships are servitorship, or rather neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. Now, where does this Janaka Janani fit in? Right? Okay. So, generally Janaka Janani, the father and this father, that fatherly approach to Krishna, is a kind of servitorship. Servitorship in the line of neutrality. Like, I'm helpless. When one accepts one as a father, he doesn't really want to serve him as such, but he wants to take service from him. So this is more like in neutrality. Neutrality bordering servitorship. Like, bordering servitorship in the sense, like he is looking at Krishna as the father, as the superior, as the Lord. Yeah, can anybody translate in French?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Sorry?
Can we sincerely ask Krishna for help, even if we commit offenses to the devotees?
Ask for help? I couldn't get. What is your question? Like, maybe you can make it a little clear? Like, ask for Krishna's help and while offending the devotee.
If you offend some devotee, you can also ask help from Krishna. Appeal to Krishna.
Offend for?
We have offended a devotee.
I see. Yes, it has been mentioned in the scriptures that when you offend a devotee, then we must approach the devotee for forgiveness. By approaching Krishna, we do not become free from the offense. You understand English all right? Okay. So, the story of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj is a very good example for that. Durvasa offended Ambarish Maharaj and then he went to Narayan. But what did Narayan tell him? He said, no, I can't help you. You have to go back to Ambarish Maharaj and beg forgiveness. So when you offend a devotee, it is better to approach the devotee and beg forgiveness. And when the devotee, when you approach a devotee and ask him for forgiveness, devotee is very merciful. He'll immediately say, yes, I forgive you. There is no offense. And then Krishna becomes pleased.
Someone may desire to surrender himself.
Okay, it's a very tricky question. One may want to surrender to Krishna, but his mind may not allow him to surrender. Now, when you are surrendering, how are you surrendering? Who is surrendering? Aren't you surrendering through your mind? Or? Very good. Okay. So, when you're surrendering, then if the mind creates disturbance, then use your intelligence to take care of your mind. Because it's true, like mind's business is to do sankalpa and vikalpa, accept and reject. At one point the mind says, I surrender to Krishna. And the next point the mind says, no, let me go to Maya. Right? This way the mind is always flickering. But the intelligence which is above mind, the intelligence must be used in controlling the mind. And that intelligence is called Buddhi Yoga. And that intelligence is synonymous to devotional service.
Yeah.
What are the symptoms of the mind? The symptoms of the mind that surrenders to Krishna. That is surrender to Krishna. Man mana bhavo, the mind is just fixed on Krishna and doesn't think of anything else. Mind, the mind that is surrendered to Krishna, just thinks about Krishna and how to serve Krishna, how to become more effectively engaged in Krishna's service. So this is how a Krishna conscious mind thinks. And actually when one is sincere, then Krishna helps the devotee. Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jam tama nashayami atma bhavastho jnana vitena bhashyata. Krishna says that in order to bestow my compassion upon him, out of my compassion for him, I, sitting within his heart, enlighten him with the knowledge that removes the darkness. And also, the one before that, tesham shatata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogamtam jena mamupajam. So tesham shatata yuktanam, one who is sincerely engaged in serving Krishna all the time, bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogamtam. Krishna says that he gives him the intelligence by which he can come back to him. Dependent upon Krishna's service. Well, ultimately Krishna does everything, but a devotee doesn't demand that Krishna does things. Actually, Krishna is doing everything. But a devotee doesn't on top of that say, Krishna, do this for me, do that for me. That's what the materialistic people are doing. Give me this, give me that. But a devotee, he doesn't think like that. Like a grown-up child, like a grown-up son, doesn't demand from the father, but he wants to do things for the father.
But he thinks he wants Krishna doing something. He goes to a grave, he says, oh, thank you, Krishna. It's come late, but when something happening, he says,
well, whenever something happens, yes, a devotee expresses gratitude to Krishna. Actually, when something good happens, a devotee gives credit to Krishna. And when something bad happens, then the devotee blames his own karma. He says, my bad karma, due to my bad karma it happened. But when something good happens, then he thinks, Krishna is so merciful that he did it for me. Whereas the materialistic thinks the other way around, the opposite way. He thinks when something bad happens, then he thinks that Krishna did it. Why Krishna did it for me? And when something good happens, then he thinks that I have done that. Last sentence. I see. Yes. The devotee does not actually want any kind of relationship with Krishna himself. Devotee doesn't think, well, I will develop my friendship with Krishna. Or I will accept Krishna as my lover. A devotee simply serves Krishna. Especially devotee serves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what I explained in the class this morning. Were you in the class this morning?
Okay.
That section where I was explaining that Nityananda Prabhu is explaining to Jiva Goswami that in order to allow living entities develop this relationship of friendship, parental and conjugal, they are actually a very special relationship. This relationship to the Supreme Personality, one cannot develop with the Supreme Personality of God. For example, think of a very big man, like, say, a state president, say, the President of the United States is Clinton, yeah?
Clinton,
okay. Now, can you just go to Clinton and say, hi Clinton, how are you doing? can you treat him like a friend? You can't. Or can you treat him like your son? Right? You can't, because it's too big a person. But those who are related to him, in that relationship, they can actually deal with him as a friend, or like his mother can treat him like a son. But no other woman can treat him like a son. Right? So now, if an ordinary person like Clinton, you so difficult to develop a relationship with, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Can one just walk up to the altar and say, or can one just go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I want you to become my friend. So this also has been described, that how difficult it is to develop that kind of relationship. For example, if someone says that I will develop a relationship with Krishna as a friend, then let us consider what does Krishna's friends do. Krishna's friends, they wrestle with Krishna. In Vrindavan, the friends of Krishna wrestle with him. And there is a condition in their wrestling, that whoever loses will have to carry the winner on his back. So in that, sometimes Krishna loses in the wrestling bout. And then Krishna has to carry his friend on his back. But Krishna refuses to take him on the back. Says, no, I don't want to carry you on your back. You cheated me. I didn't lose actually, but you cheated me. So I won't carry you. But the friend says, no, it was a condition, you have to carry me. So, then, the friend grabs Krishna and forcibly climbs onto Krishna's back. Now, in order to do that, he'll have to put his foot on Krishna's body. Right? Now, will any devotee in his right mind be able to walk up to the altar and put his foot on Krishna's body? So in this way we can see that one cannot now forcibly develop this relationship. But it may happen only by Krishna's arrangement. When Krishna says, well, let him become my friend, then only he'll be able to become his friend. And the arrangement will be made by Jogamaya. Jogamaya will make him forget
that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he will develop that relationship. Then only he will be able to treat Krishna as his friend, or as his son, or as his lover. So these relationships are not possible normally. But Nityananda Prabhu explained that in order to allow us to enter into that relationship with Krishna, Krishna has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a servant, then we, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna together, we get an entry to Vrindavan in one of these three mellows. Something is wrong with the battery? Shyamananda? Yeah. Well, question is, some living entities are expansions of Radharani, some living entities are expansions of Nityananda. The understanding is that the living entities in Vrindavan are the expansions of Balaram. The Nitya Siddha associates of Krishna are expansions of Balaram. And those who are expansions of Balaram, they are generally situated in the mellow of friendship. And those living and those who are expansions of Srimati Radharani, they are not jiva tattvas, they are shakti tattvas. They are not jivas, they are shakti. Krishna's internal potency and Radharani's expansions are the gopis of Vrindavan.
They use the phrase already composed by previous acharyas, but still, can we try to compose our own phrase?
Prabhupada suggested that when we are not very advanced, then we do not pray ourselves, but we pray according to the acharyas, previous acharyas. But when one becomes advanced, when one becomes fixed up in his devotional service, then he can pray directly. But when one is not advanced enough, then he may pray in a wrong way. Instead of saying, Krishna, please give me your devotional service, he may say, Krishna, give me some money. Right? Or he may pray that Krishna, make me very famous. Or so and so forth. So that those prayers are detrimental. Therefore, it's advised that one does not pray in that way. But when we pray according to, say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, our previous acharyas, then we learn how to pray. And what they are teaching us to pray? They are teaching us to pray, na dhanam na janam na sundari. I do not want wealth. I do not want followers. I do not want beautiful women. All I want is to serve you life after life. So if you can pray in that way, that Krishna, I simply want to serve you without any condition, then you can serve directly. Hare Krishna. Yes? Can you speak a little louder? Yeah. It's the same, but Saranagati is more the whole total thing is considered Saranagati. But Atmanivedan is just offering ourselves as such. But Saranagati consists of the whole process of surrender, which includes maybe you can say that Atmanivedan is one aspect of Saranagati. Right? And the complete surrender is, the process of complete surrender is the process of Saranagati. Which includes, as I mentioned, like Daina, the humble disposition, Goptritte Bharan, accepting Krishna as the Lord, accepting Krishna as the supreme protector and maintainer. And like this saranagati ultimately will take, the surrender of Atmanivedan will ultimately take the shape of total saranagati. And saranagati is actually devotion. The base, the foundation of devotion is so. Yeah. They are actually Krishna's eternal associates. They are Krishna's eternal father and mother. Yes. I didn't understand. Maybe you can speak in Italian and you can translate.
This is only for the spiritual master, Sankhya Atmanivedan. And for the devotee, how to achieve this level.
Where did you get that? Shakham and Atmanivedan is for spiritual master?
We read in this 7th canto.
Shakham, for spiritual master. I mean the disciple to the spiritual master.
The devotional serving is to level the very light, and the devotee cannot achieve easily. But it's for the.
Maybe you can show it to me where you read it.
Seventh canto.
Okay, you can show it to me. Then, because without reading it, I can't. Okay, last question. So,
Guruji, how can one check oneself that one is actually surrendering as a constant endeavor, as a constant factor?
How can one check whether one is surrendering? He can watch his mind and see how much the mind is fixed up in the service. How much mind is away from mind. So that's how one has to check it. Because one may think that, well, I'm surrendered. But then he watches his mind, then he will see that his mind is desiring so many other things. Instead of becoming surrendered, he is actually demanding to lord over. He was always wanting to lord over. So then you have to see that the process of surrendering is not actually taking place. Okay, so I'll stop now because I have another meeting now. So the sweets...